As the Lord may be pleased to help me, friends, I will direct your attention to Psalm 13 and the sixth verse, the last verse. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Sixth verse, the 13th psalm. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Surely such a word as this is an applicable word at such a time. A service professedly to thank the Lord for goodness and mercy over a period of time until now. But this word, my friends, is a tried word. Perhaps someone here this afternoon is saying, it hardly suits me. Sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Why, I'm at the ends of the earth. Everything's wrong. It has been for a long time. I've considered and can come to no right conclusion. My friends, the word before us this afternoon is a word that belongs to every chosen vessel of mercy. And the pathway of such a one will be such as we have intimated already, oft times wondering where the scene will end, oft times wondering whether one is in the way at all, whether one has a God. The psalmist here in the opening of this psalm says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Strange way, isn't it? Well, my friends, my desire this afternoon, even today, is to seek that the Lord will help me to enter into this word and to set forth the reason why we should be found within the word, to sing unto the Lord, and to prove, as the Lord will help us this day experimentally in our own hearts, that he has dealt bountifully with us. How can we come to this conclusion? In a word. I like to find a foundation in a word, friends, and it is this: that if you have a hope in the mercy of God through a precious Christ, no matter what changes there are in your life, no matter how tried it is, no matter how many battles the enemy has with you, the Lord has dealt bountifully with you, in that he has redeemed you with an everlasting salvation. There'll be no failing at the end. You will enter into that glorious habitation, settled ere time began for you by a three-one God. He has dealt bountifully with you. And let me tell you again, friends, and it is sweet this to me, if he has ensured the end shall be right, if he has indeed set you in the bundle of life with Christ, all your time things will fall into the right place. He's dealt bountifully with you. He won't leave you to fight your battles alone. All those things that cause you to conclude from time to time, it's finished. You come to the end of it. You can't go on any further. They're all in his hands. They haven't come by chance. He's dealt bountifully with you. But, my friends, while my desire is indeed that today shall be a day of thankfulness, and the very essence of it shall be praise to our God, there is a needs be, every time I speak, and every time the Lord's servants do speak, to separate, to bring forth the precious from the vile. It will do no good, my friends, for you to take of comfort that you have no right to, and will do the man no good, however men may think of him, to set forth comfort that pleases the ear, tickles the natural ear, but has no real effect, does no real good, because it isn't of the Lord. Real religion's more than notion. We've sung it so many times, I feel sometimes we become hardened to these things. We don't truly consider them. Real religion's more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And that's the Lord's work. So there must be a right beginning. Oh, it's no good saying, why, this is a Sunday. That's the service for a Sunday, ordinary services. Whenever the Lord's servant speaks about the things of God, there should be setting forth of the truth. And that truth makes declaration of one thing only, that man is an utterly ruined sinner, and there is no help or hope except in a precious Christ. That must be the very essence of the gospel. None but Jesus. So, my friends, we have to examine ourselves again. Where did it start? Brought up under the sound of truth? Inherited it? Won't do. The children of God are cut down by God Himself. Brought to a knowledge of the need of Christ. It's the work of the Spirit. Do you know anything of it? It won't do, friends. Born in a good family, brought up under the sound of truth, have it settle in your head, wants to be in your heart. And if it's in your heart, friends, you'll know something of our psalm, not just the last verse, the one we have as a text. It'll be, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? No easy way to heaven, friends. 'Tisn't an easy pathway to heaven. It's a wilderness. The world will tell you you're a miserable lot of people. But oh, what mercy it is, if you can trace the way. The word this afternoon won't be an empty word in your experience, because He hath dealt bountifully with me. How did it begin, sinner? The devil will tell you again, if you belong to us as a people, why, it's the same old story, week in, week out. The work of God doesn't alter, friends. He convinces of sin. He leads to Jesus' blood. There is no other way. And in convincing of sin, He'll make you grieve over it. Do you do it? Again, it's tried me so many times, this has. But here's the truth, friends. If the Lord convinces you of sin and you grieve over it, you'll ask the Lord to deliver you from the love of it. Flesh likes the way of sin. But true grief won't be seeking mercy, forgiveness over sin. True grief will be, Lord, deliver me from the love of it. Keep me away from it. Hold me up, Lord. Have mercy upon me. I'm wretched. I'm undone. I can't hold myself up, Lord. You won't be satisfied with knowing the way in your judgment. You'll want to walk in the experience of the way under the power of God in your soul. You know anything of it, sinner? The Lord then convinces of sin. He makes one pray. Devil tells me so many, many times I can't preach anything else. But you see, I have to walk this way. I have to pray too. About fresh sin. There are no righteous people in this world in themselves. The righteousness is in Christ. It's in the new man, in the flesh. It is utterly ruined. You'll make you pray, and it'll be real prayer, friends. God help me, God help me, God help me. Real crescendo it will rise to. You won't give him any peace until he does. Because it's his own work. He intends to help you. He intends to have mercy upon you. He has forgiven you. The forgiveness is in the finished work of Christ. But the pathway is yours, and you'll walk in that pathway. 'Tis the ordained way, the way of God. It is to give you knowledge of mercy, of salvation through blood. It is to give you that knowledge in your own soul, so you won't lean on someone else. So the devil won't be able to say 'tis hearsay. It will be a knowledge of God through grace. You come this way. It's step by step, friends. When he makes you pray, he answers. There may not be the words. Some people look for them. Thy sins are all forgiven me. But there'll be the knowledge of it. What is this? There'll be peace. It won't last. No, it'll be tried, that will. But there will be peace at a given time, in God's time. He'll give you to know he accepts you. If you come this way, we'll find this foundation first, friends. If the beginning's right, the middle will be right, and the end will be right. If you come this way, then, conviction of sin, taught to pray in truth, answers of peace. Through a precious Christ, the intercession of the Son of God, Jesus, who stands in the breach, who pleads what he has done for this sinner, loved with an everlasting love, peace. Then the warfare begins. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, came into the wilderness. They traversed the wilderness for 40 years. It wasn't peace there all the time. Battles, needs, fears, trials of all sorts. But he was their God. He brought them through. The purpose was a natural Canaan. They entered in. The purpose of the children of God in the wilderness of this world, the purpose of God toward them, is that they shall traverse that wilderness in the strength of their God and enter ultimately in that heavenly Canaan prepared for them ere time began. But there's a warfare, the flesh against the spirit. You know anything of it? The psalmist says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You ever pray like that? Lord, help me. That covers it all. You have need to pray like that? You got an adversary, have you? In yourself. Oh, how often. often I feel, friends, men are inclined to say, 'Twas Satan's fault. Devil tempted me. But the flesh is forgotten. A wicked, deceitful heart. Inclinations that belong to your ruined nature. Those desires to satisfy the flesh. Do you know what this is? That great enemy within. Does the Lord lead you to pray about that? Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. There are those that watch as well, the agents of Satan. Do you fear these things, friends? You come this way. Now can we follow on? But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Here's the character. Is it you? Has the Lord brought you this way? Has he given you understanding? There's none but Jesus can help you. None but the living God can uphold you in all the changing scenes of life. None but the Spirit of God that can give you wisdom to do those things that are right in his sight. Keep your feet from falling. Can you say, but I have trusted in thy mercy? Well, friends, if this pathway has been yours thus far, isn't our text a suitable one this afternoon? I will sing unto the Lord. But perhaps there's one here as I opened who's in trouble. Perhaps there's one here who fears so many things. Perhaps there's one again and again says, will I endure to the end? It's that great adversary endeavoring to separate you from your God. He says so many times in that subtle way, where is now thy God, doesn't he? He asks you from time to time, why should the way be thus if Jesus loves you? And you've got no answer, have you? Your wisdom is lacking. The wisdom needful to answer Satan in that subtle craft of his. But a sovereign God, my friends, is determined that thou shalt endure to the end. A sovereign God has decreed that the crown shall be put on the head of his own dear son, that thou shalt come into this place again and again. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How can it work out with such a condition as you're in now? My friends, the ways of the Lord are past finding out. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows your disposition intimately. He will have one thing continually: glory to his own great name. How often we look at ourselves and feel that things ought to be so much different. How often we feel the Lord hath led us in this way, the right way. And there are times when we do love the way, We feel we love him. Jesus is precious to us. And yet, these strange things come about. What is the answer to it? How can it be for his glory? It is, my friends, because man is utterly ruined, rotten to the core in himself, in his flesh. There is a needs be continually to keep your soul alive. How long would you be found in that way, looking unto Jesus? How long would you be found in that pathway of real communion with your God? How long would you be found returning thanks for mercies, abundant mercies that are given to you, unless there was something to turn you upside down? Isn't this right, sinner? This God with whom you have to do loves you with an everlasting love. He will ever counter the attacks of Satan. He'll destroy him ultimately. The great weapon of mercy that he gives to you, poor sinner, is the weapon of prayer. These things make you pray, don't they? You are in trouble at this time, can't see the way. You who write bitter things against yourself, perhaps there's one here doing that, feels instead of being in the way, are continually out of the way. The children of God don't openly tell people what's in their hearts, but the children of God have no different hearts to any other, and when left to themselves, they're rotten at times. And so they write bitter things against themselves. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Is this dealing bountifully with you? Leaving you in this condition where you can't manage the way? Where you mourn day after day over apparently your lost condition? Where your wisdom can't satisfy your need? You haven't got any real wisdom. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. He'll make a way for you, sinner. He's watching over you now. These things have come in the pathway to keep your soul alive. He's got a time, an appointed time of deliverance. Look at our psalm, that 106th psalm. The end of the psalm is vastly different to the middle of it. We find in the opening of it, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It isn't very long before there is sin spoken of. We've sinned with our fathers, we've committed iniquity, we've done wickedly. There was rebellion at the Red Sea when the Lord delivered them. When he delivered them, they saw his wondrous works. They praised him for it. But how quickly they returned to themselves. They made idols, the golden calf. They forgot their God. Are you any different? Not only you who belong to the church in that your name is on the church roll, but you who make profession before the Lord, not necessarily before men. There are numbers, my friends, who'll be in heaven having never had their name on the church roll. They belong to the living family of God. They're loved in Christ. Perhaps that's one of you here. Not belonging to the church, professedly, but belonging to the church of God, because the Lord himself hath set you there. What about your way? When he came and made himself known and made himself precious to you and caused your heart to rejoice in him, then you walked in union with the opening of this psalm, didn't you? Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. But how soon you've forgotten. How many times you've turned out of the way. Isn't this true? The mercy, my friends, and the reason why our text is the only one. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me, in that he hasn't cut you off. He hasn't sent you to hell. You're still in the land of the living. You're still on praying ground. Here we find in this 106th psalm, the psalmist saying, many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Isn't there comfort, consolation here? My friends, we dare not treat it lightly. What is the foundation of it all? It is a crucified but risen Christ. Oh, here's the consolation. Here is the reason for our text. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He sent his own dear Son into this lower world, knowing you intimately, knowing what is in your heart now, what would be in your heart before you came into this world. Yet he loved you with an everlasting love, never finding any worthiness in your flesh, never finding at any time the possibility of attaining to a satisfaction to a holy God in you. But he sent his own dear Son in his eternal mind, in full agreement with the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, set the eternal mind upon this great plan of salvation to deliver you from the curse forever. It is because the dear Son of God in the fullness of time came into this lower world in a body of flesh and blood, satisfied the demands of divine justice, payment for sin, the dreadful agonies in Gethsemane's garden of his holy soul, the dreadful darkness, that awful wrestling with the powers of darkness. Do you ever think of it, friends? Or is it too deep for you? It belongs to real religion. It belongs to the work of the living God, the manhood of Christ, wrestling with the powers of darkness in Gethsemane's garden, so that, as it were, great drops of blood came from his pores. He wrestled there for you. You who at times feel to be the vilest sinner out of hell. He came to that dreadful place of Calvary where wicked hands nailed him to the cross. the dreadful agonies of body, mind, and soul that brought forth that cry of the man Christ Jesus, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? 'Twas done for you. My friends, unless we can take hold, we are lost forever. The work of God was for a sinner. This great work of redemption, whereby the eternal Son of God should endure the cross, despise the shame, with that great joy set before him, a sinner saved by grace, you. Oh, we must come to this. 'Tis a personal religion. 'Twill do you no good to know your fellow will get to heaven. Must be you. And if the Lord has done anything for your poor soul, he has finished the work. A completed work. Then here in the time state, in all your changes, the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous. This is you, a sinner, saved by grace. Hark again, friends, hearken to the word of the poet. That which he speaks is the inditing of the Spirit of God in his soul and given to pen it. Lest the shadow of a spot should on my soul be found, he took the robe the Savior wrought and cast it all around. Here's the righteousness of Christ imputed. He didn't die in vain, poor sinner. This lovely Jesus, the God-man, came into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. Everyone has been redeemed with an everlasting salvation. His eye is upon the righteous. His ear is open unto their cry. He loves you, sinner. Here's the foundation. In spite of all your fears, I will sing unto the Lord, because he has plucked me as a brand from the burning. They're real things, friends. Can't you take hold? Will you give way to Satan, that malicious foe? Will you give way to the flesh, wretched unbelief? Will you condemn your God to unfaithfulness? Is that possible? He that has brought you hitherto will bring you all your journey through, give you daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. How many times, perhaps not openly, perhaps not before men, but how many times have you said in your heart, why me, O blessed God, why such a wretch as me, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Has he not dealt bountifully with you? Who brought you to such an understanding as that? Who brought you to such a place where you were willing to be abased before your God, to consider yourself as unworthy, undeserving, hell-deserving? The work of God. Is your God changeable? 'Tis you that changes, sinner. My soul through many changes goes. His love no variation knows. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Ah, I can understand, sinner, your pathway. I don't know what it is with any of you, but if it's a dark pathway, I know something of it. I know something of the fears that rise up, the unbelief in the heart. Will there be no end to it, or what will the end be? But the Lord knows. I know a little of deliverance, and so do you, don't you? Can the Lord have done such great things for us and now destroy us? Remember Manoah's wife? The Lord is still the same. The foundation is still the same, sinner. 'Tis Jesus died. He rose again. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and 'tis to make intercession for you. He'll bring you through. He hath dealt bountifully with you. Has he done the same for all your friends? Do you ever think of this? 'Tis recorded in the word, I will put a difference between you and the Egyptians. I believe Mr. Philpott says somewhere in one of his portions, you can see it every day as you walk about. See the difference that the Lord has put between his people and the world. Has he done it with you? Why did he do it? 'Tis because Jesus died for you. It is an immovable foundation. It will never change. Jesus loved and loves forever. Thus the eternal covenant stands. But your trouble's still the same, isn't it? Still got a burden. You can't believe the word. I say that sometimes, for I know it to be true in my own experience. 'Tis so easy to say I believe the word of God, but you don't believe it when the trouble comes. When left to self, you can't take hold. And so your darkness belongs to you. Doesn't belong to your God. He's still the same. He knows what he will do. But in spite of our unbelief, there's a wonderful word he's left on record, and that word is this: if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I will work. And who can let it? You know, your trial, it's found within another word. And that word says, surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. The poor sinner, perhaps it's you, says, ah, but my expectation isn't what it means in that word. The expectation there is the expectation of the love of God to be manifested. But I don't know what's going to happen. The way is so difficult, I can't take hold of anything. So the Lord hath said, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. That's before a precious Christ. Jesus stands in between, poor sinner. He'll make a way for you. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You prove it. You can, you know. Again and again, if we examine things rightly, we bring the fault, the cause of our trouble, back to ourselves. So easy to say, isn't it? I can't take hold. I can't pray. Don't try. What do I mean by that? My friends, so often we consider in our hearts we must tell the Lord all about ourselves. We must set it everything in order. We must catalogue all our troubles before him. But I know, my friends, it only needs the turning of the heart before the Lord in truth. He knows what our trouble is before we tell him. He knows what our difficulties are. And I have proved so many times when at the ends of the earth that he has heard my cry when I've said, Lord, I can't pray, undertake for me. He is the living God. And he knows what he will do. He'll do that word recorded in the 40th of Isaiah. He'll make the crooked thing straight and the rough places plain. And the fault again and again lies at the creature, because so frequently do we set our hands to it ourselves. We endeavour to put things right in our own strength, whereas were it to be laid at the footstool of mercy, Lord, help me for Jesus' sake, he'd make a way. We don't believe. We rest in unbelief. Again and again, we judge our God as we judge men. The mercy of it all is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I've hardly touched the subject. I'm going to leave it now. If the Lord will help me, I'll continue this evening. The Lord add his blessing. His name shall have the praise.